Good evening. So tonight we are starting, as Andrew said, with the Christian habit of positivity, which is nice, isn't it? We're going to be all positive tonight. And obviously the best place to go for a lesson on positivity is the Lego movie. So take a look at the screens.
Or what this place is at all.
Hi! I am Princess Unikitty, and I welcome you all to Cloud Cuckoo Land!
So there's no signs or anything. How does anyone know what not to do?
Here in Cloud Cuckoo Land, there are no rules. There's no government, no babysitters, no bedtimes, no frowny faces, no bushy mustaches, and no negativity of any kind.
You just said the word no, like, 1,000 times.
And there's also no consistency.
I hate this place.
Any idea is a good idea, except the not happy ones. Those you push down deep inside where you'll never, ever, ever,
ever
find them. Inside, it's like the opposite of happiness. I must stay positive. Bubblegums, butterflies, cotton candy.
Yeah, thank you, Lego Movie. That profound wisdom. Must stay positive. Princess Unikitty. And I have to say that a few more times. I gather her name is that because she's a combination between a unicorn and a kitty. Is that right? Yeah. Princess Unikitty, she really reflects the dominant idea of positivity today. The new kind of spirituality, 21st century idea where when the going gets tough, when you're hit with instability in life or conflict, you have the ability in yourself to muster your energy and take your mind to positive thoughts. So that when your home is destroyed, for example, all you have to do is think of things like bubblegum or gumdrops, positive thoughts, and it'll all be okay. By thinking those thoughts, you're essentially protecting yourself from hurt in life. It's the same with Happy Gilmore, if you've seen that movie. It's a bit old now, but remember Happy's happy place? You know, when things aren't going well on the golf course, he goes into this escapist realm where all of his favorite things are there, and then he comes back to reality, and then he can keep playing. And, you know, this is all well and good. There's nothing wrong with thinking positive thoughts in life. But the issue is kind of blaringly obvious with this sort of mentality, because those imaginary thoughts, they're completely susceptible to destruction when anything seriously severe happens in life. They won't be solid enough of a foundation to help sustain you through the tough times. You take one glimpse at the news today and you're bombarded by negative news that will pull your whole view of the world down if you're not careful. The media thrives on evoking fear. It's really a potent combination of cynicism, fear, hatred. And on a closer level in our lives, people who we're in relationships with can be brutal in what they say and how they act towards you. They can pull your whole sense of identity and self-worth right down. Just a word or a line from a single person is enough to cause a spark which lights a whole forest fire of negativity in some people's minds. It makes you feel inadequate or ugly or hated. You can also experience left-field life events that just come out of nowhere, whether it's in the world or at home closer to you. All these things in life are just negative forces that that pull you down, 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 down towards this place of despair. And despair is an ugly place to be, full of all kinds of horrible stuff. That's where addictions form, from anything to alcohol to pornography. It's where anxiety festers. That's where depression comes. This is a broken and dislocating, and it can be a very isolating place to be. And you need much more than imaginary, you know, cloud cuckoo land and bubblegum and happy places to counter these negative forces pulling you down. Obviously, you need much more than that. But Christianity is meant to offer another way than simply these weak, kind of positive, imaginary thinking. Because the good news is, for every person here tonight, though Christians get it wrong all the time, one of the core beliefs of Christian living is that although hardship does come in life, nobody denies that, although hardship comes in life, it is possible to be positive. And this is why. Positive for a Christian is based on sure, indestructible truths that aren't vulnerable and aren't going to just vanish into thin air at the first sign of trouble, but they are based on truths that are anchored in heaven. So for Christians, positivity is a posture of the mind that's all about thinking heavenward. We sang that in one of the hymns tonight, which I thought was really cool. Heavenward just means on the trajectory towards heaven. So Christians need to have their entire thought life, all their thoughts, their feelings, their longings, their aspirations, going towards, aiming towards, on the trajectory towards the truths that God has for us in heaven, firm and secure. This is what Paul means when he writes in Colossians, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." He's urging Christians everywhere to remember and to set their affections on the higher, transcendent, unshakable truths of God. Here in these verses, he's saying that no matter what happens to you, remember that Jesus is the King of the universe, and that he holds your identity firmly in his hands. That's the truth that he's calling us to think heavenward towards. Think heavenward towards the fact that your previous life without God and all the futile stuff that you sought after with your aching heart, that died when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Sin has no power to destroy you anymore. You aren't governed by what mere people say or do to you. You died with Christ. Think heavenward towards that truth. And then your new life, your newly created soul that rose when Jesus rose from the grave, is now here in your life. You have been raised with Christ. And now you have this brand new identity, and this identity can never be destroyed. In fact, this is how I like to think of what Paul is saying here in these verses. You picture Jesus right now, seated on the throne of the center of the entire universe with complete power and supremacy. No one can get close to afflicting him or dismantling him. And you notice that he's clutching something in his hand. It's your true identity, your eternal life, your full assurance. The most powerful being in the entire cosmos clutches your true identity in his hand, and it will never let it go. It's anchored in heaven, in the reality of heaven. That's what Paul means when he says, set your minds on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Your life is now hidden with him. It's thinking heavenward, moving you away from the downward pull of earthly negative forces on your mind and your emotions, and lifting your eyes to the sure, anchored truth in heaven. The writer to the Hebrews says a very similar thing. He writes, We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. I love that imagery. Because our positivity isn't whimsical or based on imagination. It's an anchor. It's firm and secure. And Jesus himself journeyed piercing through into heaven through his death, through his glorious resurrection. He's entered heaven and is there now guarding the promises that we have in him. We think heavenward towards that. Peter also writes pretty much the same thing. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." Richard Wurmbrand was a man who knew the power of what it meant to reach toward the promises of God like this. He was a pastor in Romania in the 1940s, and he was jailed there by communists. He was jailed for 14 years, including 3 straight years of solitary confinement in a subterranean cell, so a cell underground, where he never once for 3 years saw the sun, saw the sky, the stars, flowers. He saw no one except the torturer that came into his cell to torture him. And when he finally got out, which was a miracle in and of itself, he wrote a book called Reaching Towards the Heights, which is all about trying to help Christians to reach in their hearts and minds to the truths like this kept for them in heaven. Because according to Wurmbrand, when you lose everything else in life, when you're stuck in a subterranean cell, that is all that you have. Reaching heavenward to the promises you have in God. Because Christians simply don't need to look up Tony Robbins, you know, pointers on how to live a positive life. They don't need to Google what, you know, yoga specialists say about living positive. Your aim in all of this is to direct your thoughts and your heart towards what you have in God and take hold of it. This idea of thinking heavenward is what some people refer to as consecration of the mind. Aligning your thought life with the realities of heaven. Getting rid of all those earthly parts of your thinking and having your thinking completely absorbed by God. Because once you become a Christian, you get renewed spiritually. We know that. But this renewal involves a change in your thought life, a participatory change in your thought life that you have a lot of say in. An old Christian thinker called A.W. Tozer, he wrote that a really easy test for you to gauge how you're going as a disciple of Jesus is when you're left alone in your own thoughts and there's no pressure to think about anything, where does your mind go? Where's the natural place that your mind chooses to go and dwell on? Because that, whatever that is what your heart is choosing to love. Of course, if you find yourself dwelling on God and on the things of heaven, then that's a really good sign of your maturity as a disciple of Jesus. But if your thoughts drift and wander towards negative earthly things, like dwelling on a fantasy or temptation that might cause you to sin, or on a thought that causes you to question your identity, maybe dwelling on something that somebody said to you that knocks your confidence, then that's really a sign that you might need to exercise some more discipline in your thought life, in what you're thinking about, and learn to train yourself to think heavenward. The Apostle Paul wrote so much about the anchored truths we have in heaven because he had to know them inside and out throughout his entire life. He had to think heavenward all the time because he was absolutely assaulted by all kinds of negative forces in his life. In 2 Corinthians, he writes about how much his life pretty much sucked, how much he was absolutely overwhelmed by these negative forces. He writes, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled, gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, gone without food. I've been cold and naked. We get it, right? Don't ever think that the Apostle Paul was out of touch with reality, with the real world. How many times in the midst of these real life horrible circumstances that he faced, do you think he was drawn down, down to that place of despair? Actually, he writes about it in the same letter in 2 Corinthians. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to even endure, so that we despaired of life itself. That's not very positive. But he wrote that. He despaired of his own existence. And that formed in Paul a very strong belief and ambition to help Christians to counteract the negative forces that they come across in this life and in this world. You don't become a Christian and become some sort of floating aura of positivity. You don't become like Buddha in this total state of Zen all the time. That's completely out of touch with the real world. That's not what happens. Do you think Paul endured all of that hardship because he was a really good positive thinker? That he just mustered up something in his own mind and went to a happy place full of unicorns and gumdrops. Meanwhile, some soldier was tearing the flesh off his back with lashes. Of course not. He grabbed hold of the promises that he has in God. In his mind, he grabbed hold of them so hard, even when he was being mercilessly beaten. He clung to heaven, he prayed, he meditated, he submitted his thought life to the truths that he has anchored in God. And if he didn't do that, he would have become completely undone. Probably the first time he received the 40 lashes minus one. Because the only way you can combat these negative forces in life and actually beyond that, step into a place of joy and positivity is whether you're having whips driven into you like the Apostle Paul was, or whether you're watching a loved one die and moving through the grief process that follows after that, experiencing relationship breakdown in your family, which can be horrible, or feeling maybe you're between jobs or you dropped out of uni, you lost your direction in life, stuck in the monotony of life, that can be an incredibly negative experience. The only way you can get through those times is if you begin to train your heart and mind to think heavenward. And then you will find this habit of positivity becomes a reality, becomes a natural thing. But the devil is always going to want to combat this and make it very difficult for you. As long as he has breath, he's going to try to call into question the strengths of the truths we have anchored in heaven. He'd be like, are they really? Are they really that firm and secure? Can you really trust God? He tries to stop us looking towards our heavenly assurance, and he tries to get us to think solely on ourselves and our own little universes and our sorry situation. He wants us swamped by any little negative thing that comes across our path. He loves it when we just let our minds wander aimlessly with no discipline. He loves that, just wandering aimlessly, open to the media's barrage of negativity. He loves it when we fester on that word that person said to us. He doesn't want us to grow in discipline in our thought life at all. That's his entire aim, to stop us from doing that. A few years ago, before I was married, I don't even know how this started, but I got into this negative cycle of having chronic anxiety in my thought life. And it really revolved around relationships with other people. It inhibited me from being able to have close connection and intimacy with my friends. It was just this continual negative downward spiral that I was stuck in. And it was horrible. I just lived in fear of like going out and going to friends' houses because I was, afraid that I was going to have to like go to the bathroom and have a vom. I would just get completely physically ill. And I was stuck in it. I didn't know what to do. And it went for a couple of years. But the first time I came to CBC, the very first time I came into this building, Omar Joandy was up the front here, and he was preaching about the strongholds that the devil can put into our minds that can manifest into depression and anxiety and things like that. And at the end of the sermon, he called for anybody who wanted prayer over their mind to release them from that in the name of Jesus. And I was straight down the front, and he prayed for me. That was my first experience here at CBC. And long after that, I experienced a very substantial release from that cycle of anxiety that I had felt trapped in. But even now, today, I still feel the scars of that in my mind. I still feel that. So I have to exercise a lot of discipline in my thought life to partner with God and His Spirit and to move away from those negative forces. Because when you do that, it's immensely powerful. And here are just a few disciplines that I try to put into practice that are really practical and might help you. The first one is prayer, kind of an obvious one. Paul writes in Philippians, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." When you feel the pull of those negative forces in life, when you feel those strongholds trying to drag you down, you pray. Pray. Because when you enter into conversation with God, you are piercing through our physical dimension and into the spiritual realm. That's what you're doing. We forget about that a lot because we get so used to praying and services and all of that. But that's where Jesus is, seated at the right hand of God right now. That's what happens when we pray. We access the conduit between heaven and earth. And then your thoughts are on a sure trajectory towards the promises we have in heaven. So as well as Jesus, you know, hearing our prayers and petitions, He's also in return providing us with this incredible peace that comes from being so close to heaven. And it guards our hearts and our minds and uplifts us to being able to actually have this habit of positivity. That's thinking heavenward. Another discipline to help you think heavenward is submission. So really submitting your thought life to Jesus. Paul writes again in Philippians, "Take every thought captive," actually it's 2 Corinthians, "take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ." You might have heard that before, but this is like the most potent verse. I love it. This is about being ruthless in your thought life, absolutely ruthless. Not suppressing negative thoughts, but learning to discern that whenever there's an unhealthy negative thought trying to wreak havoc in your mind, you take it. This is why I like the imagery of this verse so much. And this is what I try to do. This might sound a bit violent, but whenever there's a negative thought that pops into my mind, I grab it. This is what I do, visualize it in my mind. I grab it by the scruff of the neck and I take it to the feet of Jesus and I throw it down and I make it obedient to the power and authority of Christ. That's what I see in my mind. And then when it pops up again, I do the same thing. I grab it and I throw it down. And then I counter with a verse like Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me, gave himself for me." That's submitting your thought life to Christ. The other discipline that I try to enact is meditation. So if submitting your thought life to Christ is kind of being on the defensive, meditation is like being on the offensive. It's offense. It's meditating is just filling your mind with thoughts of God. After you've submitted those negative thoughts to Jesus, then you counter again with dwelling on incredible thankful thoughts of who God is and the promises that we've talked about. This just liberates your mind as you meditate on the qualities of God. Paul writes in Philippians, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever is right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent, you think about those things. You meditate on those things. That's being on the offense. That's when real positivity can come forward in your life. I also found this really cool concept that is really interesting. You might find it, I find it interesting. It's three things, three qualities of God that have been known as the three transcendentals. And these are three indestructible qualities of God: goodness, beauty, and truth. And they're called the transcendentals because they are three qualities of God that kind of transcend or rise above earthly things. And when you encounter real goodness, real beauty, real objective truth, you know it. Every human on the planet knows it. So when you dwell on these qualities and let yourself be emotionally moved by them, you're learning to think heavenward. These things are like the DNA of God, the DNA of heaven. It's a great way to discipline your thoughts. If a thought comes into your head, you ask these questions. You ask, is it good according to God? Is it beautiful? Is it true according to God's word? Does it reflect God's goodness? Or does it stem from the evil and fearful things of this world? Does it create in my soul a sense of rapture because it's beautiful, the way that God is beautiful and the way he intended beauty to be? Or does that thought come more from the distorted, broken, ugly things of this world that sin has gotten into and wreaked havoc? Is that thought true about God, about Jesus, and who I am in relation to God? Is it true about my identity, or is it a false and misleading thing that's not a truth at all? Is it good, beautiful, or true? And if it is, you think about those things. You dwell on it. If not, you throw it at the feet of Jesus. And in all these disciplines that I've tried to enact to protect my mind and to try and stay positive as a Christian, they've helped me to create this natural habit. And of course, you know, stuff up all the time. And that's why grace is so important. But you use them. You use these disciplines. When someone says to you, for instance, you're worthless, you're ugly, you're weak, you'll never amount to anything, you know how to handle that. You pray. You make that thought submit to Christ. You dwell on the good and beautiful things of God. You fill your mind with those things. You meditate on them. And you learn to think heavenward. When you're stuck in the monotony of life, you know what to do. You do the same thing. When your life is hit by a tragedy or a broken relationship, when it's easy to fester on the negative things that come out of that, you pray, you submit your thoughts to Christ. You dwell on and meditate on the good things, the beautiful things, the true things of God. Because I really believe positivity as a Christian is a possible thing. It is a habit that we can form. When we reach heavenward and grab hold of the truths of God, it's possible. Because the things of God are indestructible. They're not weak. If they're at the forefront of your thinking, then you can actually get through and navigate the hardest of seasons of life. You can stand when others fall. You can step through the fire. You won't be held captive anymore by those earthly negative forces trying to pull you down to despair. And instead, you end up looking full into the wondrous, incredible, amazing, joy-giving realities of heaven that we have access to as Christians, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I'm going to pray in a second, but the worship team can come up. And as I was reading through the lyrics of the song that we're about to sing, I thought that it's just perfect. It's all about, unto the Lamb who sits on the throne be glory and honor and praise. And as we're singing the words of this song and meditating on them, just This is us training our minds to think heavenward, to peer into the spiritual realm and the promises that we have in God. So Jesus, help us tonight, Lord. Help us as we go into our weeks. Lord, we don't want to be held back by those negative strongholds that the enemy tries to place into our minds. We want to be on the offensive for you, Jesus. We want to know what it means to truly step into an experience of joy, a rhythm of joy and positivity as Christians. We want to look heavenward, Lord. We want to reach out and grab hold of the truths that we have in you. We don't want to be held back anymore, Lord. We don't want to be held captive by earthly things, by things from the enemy. We want to step out and be who you have designed us to be, Lord. Free from any accusation or condemnation. We need your Spirit's presence here, Lord. We need your grace. We need your healing power to invade our hearts and our minds, Jesus. Let's pray for anybody here right now who is feeling in that place of despair and locked in it, in the cycle of negativity. Lord, would you come through your supernatural power and bring release? In Jesus' name, would you come, Lord? Would you give us a glimpse of heaven right now? Would you give us a tangible assurance of the truths that we have in you and the promises we have in you, Jesus? Would you give us an ability to see you on your throne right now, Lord, and know that our identity is held firmly in your hands? And through that comes real healing, Lord, real healing. In Jesus' name.